Right. I hope you all recognize the unique opportunity that we have this morning, because it's not very many times in our lives that the day that we celebrate the Lord's birth falls on the same day that we typically gather to worship. But if you have your Bible, you can open up to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through 25. If you're using the church Bible, Matthew chapter 1 is on page 863. So I think that we all realize how much Christmas has become commercialized and secularized, how much it's turned away from Jesus. And it seems to be more so every year that goes by. I mean, each year we see the nativity scene being banned in more places. And we meet more and more people that refuse to say Merry Christmas. They want to say Happy Holidays. And in this country especially, Christmas is becoming more about us and less about Jesus each and every year. I mean, even last week in his Christmas address to the nation, the president refused to mention the name Jesus Christ. But I think that even some of us who know that Christmas is all about Christ, I think we still lose sight of who he really is in this time of year when we get so busy. So that's what I wanted to do this morning. I just want to talk about who the scripture tells us Jesus is to us who believe. Now, last night, we looked at Jesus' birth and how when he came into the world as that little baby in a manger, that he was so much more than that. He was so much more than just a helpless baby. And this morning, as a reminder to us all, I just want us to take a look at a few things that the scripture tells us Jesus Christ is to us who believe and those who follow him. So we're going to start just by reading through Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the gift of your son. We thank you for sending him. Father, we thank you for this unique opportunity we have today as we worship him as our Lord and Savior, the same time we celebrate his birth. Father, we thank you for your word to guide us and direct us. And as we look at it this morning, as a reminder of who your son, Jesus Christ, is to us, who follow him. So I just thank you for this reminder. We pray that as we move forward that we never lose sight of who Christ is in our lives and every situation that we go through, that we always focus on him, Father. Father, we pray that we learn what you're trying to teach us this morning, and we pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so we look at the scripture this morning. I picked out seven things that Christ is to us as believers. And this certainly isn't a complete list of all that Christ is. We could never list all that. There are just a few things to remind us. And they're not arranged in any particular order either. But I just want to start by reading verse 23 again. And in this verse, Matthew is quoting from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, when he said, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So what Isaiah and Matthew are stating here is that Jesus Christ, the baby in a manger in Bethlehem, is God himself, who came to earth in the form of a man to live among his people. Now we know that God is everything. So Jesus Christ, being God in the flesh, is also all that we need. And the first point I have here is Christ is our sin bearer. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He said, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." So Jesus lived a sinless life. That sin that he took to the cross, that wasn't his. The sin that he paid the penalty of death for, that was your sin. That was my sin. Christ died in our place so that we don't have to. But you know, when he was on the cross, Jesus suffered far more than physical death, as horrible as that was. He also, for a short period of time, he experienced the darkness of being separated from God the Father. So remember, God the Father cannot look upon sin. So when all the sins of the world were poured on Christ and he became sin, God the Father couldn't look at him. God the Father turned his back on him. And that's why Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Was far more than just physical death. And Jesus didn't die on the cross just to keep Satan from gaining some souls. Jesus died on the cross out of obedience to the Father and out of his love for us. He took our sin. Christ is our sin bearer. And number two, Christ is our high priest. So the word priest, it has a couple of meanings. It means someone who mediates in a religious service, kind of a middleman between people and God. But it also means someone who's holy or set apart to perform those services. Now in the Old Testament, the priests were responsible for making intercession to God for the people by daily offering the many sacrifices that the law of Moses required. And one of the priests would be selected to be the high priest. And the high priest entered the most holy place once a year. He entered it on the Day of Atonement. And he went there to place the blood of the sacrifice on the Ark of the Covenant. Now these daily and yearly sacrifices, they were temporarily to cover the sins of the people. They would cover the sins of the people until the Messiah comes take away that sin. But every priest came from men. It was appointed from men. So Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, became a man in order to suffer death to serve as our high priest. He had to become a man. And that's why Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Jesus offered a sacrifice to satisfy God's law when he offered himself on the cross. And Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He lived a sinless life. So he only had to offer his sacrifice once in order to gain salvation for everyone who comes to God the Father through him. And that's what Paul was referring to in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, when he said, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." So Christ is our high priest. He made atonement for our sins. And then number three, Christ is our mediator. So through his death, his resurrection, and ascension to heaven, Jesus became the mediator between God and men. He opened up a way for us to have a relationship with God the Father through him. Now, some churches teach people to pray to Mary or to pray to some of the saints in order to reach God. But this is useless, because Jesus is the only way we can relate to God. And that's why Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." But not only is Christ the only way to relate to God, he also secures our salvation by speaking to God on behalf of all Christians. This is what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. "Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." He's always speaking to God on our behalf. Christ is our sin bearer. He's our high priest. He's our mediator. And number four, Christ is our righteousness. See, when a person chooses to give their life to Christ, they're covered by his righteousness. And that makes them acceptable to God. Now, he doesn't make us righteous. We're covered with his righteousness. And that's what Paul was explaining to the Romans in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, when he said, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." See, without that righteousness, without the righteousness of Christ covering us, we're unacceptable to God. We can't be good enough. Our self-righteousness isn't enough. The Bible even tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. And that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one." So it's only through Christ's death on the cross that we're covered by his righteousness, that we can have our sins forgiven, and that we're able to enter into a right relationship with God the Father. And we see Paul explaining this to the Romans as well, in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. He said, "Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed." So again, the only way that we can have our sins forgiven, that we can inherit eternal life, is by committing ourselves to Christ and allowing him to cover us with his righteousness. And then number five, Christ is our Redeemer. Jesus Christ redeemed us from the law, which is why Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. When Christ died on the cross, when he took our sins upon himself, he fulfilled the law of Moses. That law is no longer relevant to Christians. But Christians are still under the moral law. And the moral law is the Ten Commandments. But if we give our lives to Christ, he takes away our guilt from breaking those laws. You know, some people think they're okay because they live a good life. They haven't killed anyone. They treat everyone with respect and kindness. And they don't believe they've broken any of the Ten Commandments. And maybe that's some of you. So I just have to ask, have you ever told a lie? At any point in your life, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever taken anything that wasn't yours? Have you ever wished you had something somebody else has? Maybe their car or their house. See, if we're honest with ourselves, I don't think any of us would have to look very far before we realized we've broken at least one of these Ten Commandments. And the Bible tells us if you break one, you've broken them all. But the good news is, anyone who truly follows Christ has been redeemed. The guilt of their sin has been taken away. They're no longer condemned to hell. Which is why Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ is our Redeemer. He saved us from the law. And number 6, Christ is our Savior. Now this is where our focus is this morning. On Christmas season, we're focused on Christ as our Savior. And remember that familiar verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So because of what Jesus did on the cross, as his followers, we're no longer condemned to hell because of our sin. And you know, that condemnation is God's righteous judgment against sinners. He's righteous in that judgment. We've turned away from him. We've sinned against him. But Jesus saves us from God's wrath. That's why he came to us on Christmas Day as that baby in a manger. Jesus came to this earth to save the lost sinners of the world. And that's why he said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then finally, the scriptures tell us that Christ is our shepherd. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, a good shepherd leads, protects, and provides for his sheep. And that's what Jesus does. He not only saved us from God's judgment, he guides us, he protects us, and he provides for us. Listen to what he said in John chapter 10, verse 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus knows who his followers are because they hear his voice and they follow him. They obey him, what he teaches. And the way that we hear his voice is by studying our Bibles and by hearing the Bible preached. When we do that, that's how he guides us, through the hearing and understanding of his word. That's how he protects us. If we obey what he teaches us, we're going to be in a better place. We're going to make better decisions based on his will. And also, if we truly follow him and obey what he teaches, then we know for certain that our salvation is secure. And that's what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, when he said, "And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." It's all about our obedience. He doesn't force us to follow him. He provides everything we need in his word. And if we are obedient, if we obey what he teaches us, that he's all of these things to us. But if we choose to turn the other way and not follow him and do what we want to do, then he's none of these things to us. Now, these are just a few things of who Christ is to us as believers. I think sometimes, like I said when we started, it's easy to think about him being a little baby in a manger and not realize all that we have in him. So I really hope this message was a reminder to all that we have in Christ Jesus. And I hope that we take the time to reflect on this as we celebrate his birth on this Christmas day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this reminder. We thank you for all that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your desire to have a relationship with us and providing the means through him. We thank you for the faith that you've given each one of us to turn to him, Father, and we thank you for your word that we can study and hear preached, and through that obey you, follow your commands, and have eternal life with you. We just thank you for all that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.